This important podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store, offering a wide selection of prepping and survival products, including nutritional solutions and storable certified organic superfoods. Check out our full selection at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. Thank you for your support. Wow. I've got some really interesting analysis to share with you here about the coronavirus pandemic and the mortality rate. Now, I've been tracking the mortality rate very carefully, doing the math, using numbers from the WHO and China, the leaked numbers from the Chinese doctor's press conference where they were trying to say that it was good news, that they had a 6% survival rate among patients in serious condition and a 1% survival rate among patients in a critical condition, and so on. So in other words, I've been tracking this. And in doing that, I came to realize something just really stunning. And it begins with this question. At what mortality rate is a government-mandated quarantine justified? And one way to really explore this question is to ask, well, 35,000 people roughly die each year from the flu in America right now. The CDC says about 35.5 million people are infected and roughly 35,000 die. That's one death in 1,000 infections. So given that 35,000 people die, roughly speaking, why doesn't the U.S. government have a quarantine every year all the time to help stop the flu deaths? And the answer is because the mortality rate is so low that you would actually cause probably more deaths and certainly a tremendous amount of economic loss from the quarantine that isn't justified by the mortality rate of 1 in 1,000. So in other words, if the mortality rate is low, a quarantine can actually be more hazardous than the pandemic itself. And that's the case with the flu. That's why there is no national annual quarantine, because you'd have to shut down the whole economy to stop the seasonal flu. And obviously that's not worth it. So in effect, every year, 35,000 people die from the flu in America as a kind of a sacrifice or a cost to keep the economy running, to keep society functioning, because you got to have people going to work and running the power plants and running the banks, you know, running the transportation companies, the airlines, everything. You can't just send everybody home because society shuts down and then everybody loses. So we accept a certain amount of loss, and that number that we're accepting right now is 35,000 flu deaths a year, or it might be a little higher, but it's just kind of a ballpark for this explanation. So then, 1 out of 1,000 people die from the flu. Right now, according to the WHO and the communist Chinese government, which we can always trust, remember, because of their amazing transparency, they claim that the death rate for this virus, coronavirus, is 2%. So right away, that's, what, 20 times higher than the death rate for the flu, right? 2% versus 1 out of 1,000. So is 2%, is that a high enough death rate to justify the draconian crackdown measures that the Chinese government is currently invoking? And my assessment is that it can't be just 2%, because 2% wouldn't justify all these actions. Because the Chinese government, in doing all these quarantine crackdowns and shutting down society and having the economic losses and all the people dying at home from other causes that normally they would get health care, but now they can't because the hospital beds are all occupied and so on. If the death rate were only 2%, this quarantine would make no sense. It would be overkill for a 2% death rate. You would have fewer overall deaths to have no quarantine and just, from their point of view, let 2% of the population die, because 98% survive and the economy keeps running, the hospitals keep running, and you don't have secondary deaths and tertiary deaths and so on. So a 2%, just to summarize, a 2% death rate is not possible to be reconciled with the level of crackdown that we are seeing right now. It does not compute. The only way that you would have this level of draconian crackdowns and forced quarantines and door-to-door searches, you know, forced temperature taking of all the citizens, taking them out of their homes if they've even been near anybody who's had an infection, forced basically quarantine prison camp for anybody that might be infected. All these things, cremation vans running 24/7. This is only justified. It only makes sense if the death rate is over 10%. And remember, we're seeing what we think is a 15 to 17% mortality rate with this coronavirus right now. At those levels of mortality, the quarantine efforts by the Chinese government make sense. They are sacrificing so much economic productivity, but they feel it's justified because the death rate is so high that they're going to lose so many citizens if they don't do this, that they have to pay the price of the economic loss in order to protect those lives, or at least to try to, even though their quarantines aren't working, obviously. But that's their justification to themselves. So think about this logically. There is a cost associated with shutting down society. There's an economic cost, and there's also a cost in actual lives lost because of all the reasons I've mentioned here, secondary deaths and so on. People are dying in China right now from things that they would normally not die from that have nothing to do with coronavirus, has to do with the fact that they're not allowed to leave their homes. They can't go to the hospital. They're dying from heart attacks that normally wouldn't be fatal. You see, some are going to die from starvation soon because of a lack of food supplies. There are a lot of deaths happening that are not related to coronavirus. So a government has to make a decision. They have to weigh the cost. You can either save the economy or you can save lives from the virus, but you can't save both. So in other words, if you send everybody home to try to have isolated quarantines, you may be able to reduce the outbreak of the disease, but then you have all these secondary costs to society, including an economic implosion because the factories aren't running. People aren't earning wages and people are dying at home from other reasons. However, if you let everybody go to work and you don't have a quarantine, then you know you're going to have a certain death rate because this is going to spread through the population unrestrained, and you're going to have a certain number of deaths. To summarize again, if that number is only 2 out of 100, there's no way Chinese government would have clamped down with these quarantines. 2 out of 100 doesn't make sense. So the real death rate here is probably 15, 16, 17%, which is, you know, not just 20 times higher than the flu. It's like 170 times higher than the flu. Or if you really do the math on this, it's about 177 times higher mortality than the seasonal flu. Now, keep that in mind when you hear from the media or these online trolls or, you know, the communist Chinese paid trolls. They're saying, oh, this is no different than the flu. Well, except it's 177 times higher mortality rate, if I've done the math correctly there in my head. That number might need to be corrected, but it's a lot higher, you know, several orders of magnitude higher mortality rate. And again, the proof is in the fact that the Chinese government is sacrificing so much in terms of its economy, or, you know, economic output, trade, all these things is being sacrificed to try to stop this from spreading. So that's yet more proof that the Chinese government's official figures are total bunk, total bunk. Now, once we realize that, then we have to get back into the question of what happens in the United States if this has an outbreak in the USA or an outbreak in Western Europe or France or Germany or Canada or Australia or all these Western nations, not even to mention the Asian nations like Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, Japan, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and so on, Vietnam, you know, Korea. The situation, if the death rate is really 15%, or roughly in that neighborhood, it means that as this outbreak sweeps through every nation, or that series of nations, are going to have to shut down society in order to stop the infections because the mortality rate is so high that they can't take the risk of that huge number of citizens dying. If, take the population of your country. In America, it's over 300 million, roughly. I've done some additional math on this and calculated that based on the transmissivity of this virus and numbers of influenza infections reported by the CDC, it's not unreasonable to conclude that if this spreads throughout the United States uncontrolled, unrestrained, that it would infect about a third of the population. That's about 100 million. So whatever country you live in, take your population, divide it by 3. That's the number of infections that is possible if it's not controlled. Now take that number and multiply it by 0.16, let's say, or 0.15, if you think it's 15%. That's the number of dead that you could have. So you look at, you know, India, for example. What's the population of India? Is that 800 million or is it 900 million? I don't know. It's up there. It's obviously a lot larger than the United States. So take, let's take 900 million as a rough estimate. One third of that is 300 million. 300 million times 15%. What is that? That's 45 million people. So could you have 45 million people dead in India? Theoretically, yes, absolutely. These are very rational numbers that are well sourced. You could have 45 million dead in India. And similarly, you could have, you know, I don't know what the exact population is of China, but it's larger than India. It's like, what is it, 1.3 billion or whatever? You know, what does that translate to? Just estimating, you could have 60 million, 70 million dead in China. That's not unreasonable from this. And you could have 15 million dead in the United States. And you just do the math wherever you are, do the math. That's what's possible. Now, anything less than that would be a success by your local health officials. If you can prevent the spread of infections or slow the spread or have more medical beds available and have better treatment for patients, maybe it's a combination of antiviral drugs and natural medicine. Maybe at one point there actually is an honest vaccine that's available that actually reduces infections by 50% and only kills 1 out of 100 people. Would you be smart to take that vaccine? And the answer actually is yes, because the risk of being hurt by the vaccine is lower than the risk of dying from the virus, especially given if the vaccine has a 50% chance of working. So the higher the mortality rate of the disease, the more effective the vaccine can be, even if the vaccine itself produces some level of deaths itself at a lower level. In other words, the safety of the vaccine is vastly outweighed by the potential of harm of the virus itself. Now, I'm not taking a vaccine, but I got to be honest about the math. If there is a vaccine out there that's honest, that's not laced with live virus, which is one of the big concerns, and doesn't contain, you know, crazy toxic other heavy metals and chemicals and things like that, the vaccine may actually work to reduce deaths because the level of mortality is so high. That's a possibility that I'm definitely going to continue to cover and examine and be honest about. I'm going to do the math on this, and I'll be honest about assessment of a vaccine. This could be something where a proper vaccine literally saves lives because, again, the risk of mortality is so very high. But that's assuming that it's an honest vaccine. But, you know, that's a long shot, so we'll see. Nevertheless, these are some numbers to think about, and I'll keep bringing you the honest assessment as best I can with showing you the math in my articles and you know, bringing you this information with the motivation of hoping to save lives, hoping to stop the spread of this, hoping to help humanity survive this and move forward, learn from it. Maybe we shut down the BSL-4 labs, stop building biological weapons, you know? We got to learn from this. But I do want humanity to survive, and I don't want to see human beings suffer and die. That's my motivation behind all this. Thank you for listening. Keep reading my website, naturalnews.com. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. You can hear my podcasts at brighteon.com. The channel name there is HR Report. When it comes to prepping, you not only need good products that can help keep you alive, awake, aware, and nourished during difficult times, you also need products you can trust. At the Health Ranger store, we do extensive laboratory testing using an in-house lab that's ISO accredited. It's inspected, it's audited. It's a 2-year process to even get that accreditation. We use multiple mass spec instruments, state-of-the-art science. I'm a published science author as well and a patent holder on several technologies, some of which we use variations of in our lab. The purpose of this lab is to help you make sure you get clean foods, superfoods, storable foods for emergency preparedness and survival use. We have a certified organic lab-tested, what's called Ranger Bucket collection of storable foods with some survival gear in the buckets to help you even boil water and cook those foods and so on. It's a fantastic product. We can barely keep it in stock, even during normal times. In a crisis, we'll be wiped out of this product because it actually takes us a lot of time to make those products. But if they're in stock, you can get them now at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. In fact, go to that URL, healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike, and you'll see some of our survival and preparedness supplies, including iodine, colloidal silver products and gel, first aid products, storable foods, superfoods, medicinal herbs for first aid, and much more. We have a lot of products for you to help you be self-reliant, to be safe, to survive difficult circumstances, natural disasters, and all kinds of things. If you want to get prepared, do it with us at the Health Ranger Store so that you know you're getting safe, clean, laboratory-verified preparedness foods, supplements, and other related products. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. All one word, no spaces. Prep with Mike. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support.